That's good, because my idea was to just start singing like the Star Wars theme, but that might be a copyright issue.
Yes. That's going to be the open.
Welcome to Even More Mashed Up, a podcast brought to you from Misericordia University, featuring two scholars talking about scholarly things relating to pop culture. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Alan. But it's way better than scholars talking about pop culture. It's like two interesting thinkers thinking interesting things.
Scholars doesn't imply interesting thinkers?
Not to the general public.
I'm pretty sure it does.
I'm pretty sure we don't want people thinking about us as two scholars talking about pop culture.
Okay. So we're two brilliant dudes talking about pop culture?
Dudes. We're totally dudes.
Totally dudes.
Brilliant dudes.
Look at a rocket today, dude.
You, dude.
Dude.
You're so brilliant. So anyway, Richard's here too.
I am. I'm regretting that decision
dude.
Now.
Dude. Yeah. And Dan's here too. Running the board as usual, hopefully a little bit less loud than he was on the
One never knows.
The Christmas show. One bad show.
Dan, I got a quick question for you.
All right.
Let's say you're going to a movie. Let's say you're going to see Rogue One, which is the topic of our show today.
Yes.
Today is all Rogue One. It's our Christmas gift
all
to our
Rogue
listeners.
All Rogue One all the time.
That's where we're headed.
For this hour.
So you're going to see Rogue One. And uh-huh. you're going to a movie theater
like
in
with
Wilkes-Barre.
A group of people.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Not this again.
Shush. What do you need to have if you're going to go see? Or like, what do you have to have with you?
A wallet, some form of payment.
Money, right?
Yeah.
You need pants. I need a shirt.
God, please tell me he was clothed.
No, Richard had a shirt and pants.
Yeah, he checked off a few of the boxes.
I'm waiting at the top of the escalator at the Wilkes-Barre 14.
I had the wallet with
free
me.
Free plug.
Oh.
And I hear this voice calling from behind. Alan! Alan! I turn around. Richard says, I've come to see the movie with you. I got no money. None.
No.
I've got,
I had
no money.
That was deactivated.
Oh,
and I did not
so
know.
So he brought
until
his deactivated card and
unknown
nothing else.
Unknown to me.
It sounds like a scam to me.
It
sounds like he
yeah,
wanted to go
exactly.
to a movie for
makes
free.
Me glad I was already in the theater saving
exactly.
seats.
Exactly. So
yeah.
that was my Ditching Christmas gift to Richard was to actually pay his way into the movie that we had been planning for a week to see,
yes.
but he couldn't scrape together $6 to get in.
Yeah, and it's not like it. Yeah, exactly. And it was like the
With
early
the,
day matinee. We're not right. talking like the
did,
late
did
in the evening.
No, not an expensive film.
Like 10, 50.
Did he make you buy popcorn?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but he did. Oh. Vicky and I bought popcorn.
No, no, no.
And I would say
Vicky offered it to
Richard. Yes, and Richard liberally accepted.
You offered me popcorn.
Well, I noticed Richard sat, you know, the most popcorn adjacent as he could.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You told
yeah.
me to sit there.
It
you
was
said
unbelievable.
Sit there he was sitting next to Vicky.
He totally paid for your movie. You darn right. You better sit where he tells you.
Like, why?
Like Dan, but, movie theater etiquette.
Right.
When you're going to the popcorn, it's one hand, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a two-hand kind of
Richard.
Thing. I did not do two hands.
Like, popcorn was flying through the air, you know.
You're just making things up.
He basically just dug his two hands in, and then it was like a hand trough.
At one point, he literally tried to take the bowl out of Vicky's hand and just turn it upside down over his head.
It was less
chest,
about
you know?
The bringing the popcorn to my face and more my face towards the popcorn.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure he was showering popcorn off for like
See, like
days
I told
after.
You, when it comes
no,
to Rich,
you
have to ask
to snack
specific
later.
Questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rich,
Day,
do you
show
want to come to the yeah. movie?
Yes.
B, will you bring money?
No. C, when offered popcorn, will you leave some for the people who actually bought it?
D,
will
all
you
of the
wear
above.
Pants?
I'm just saying, you have to be very specific with
no,
Rich.
Absolutely.
So like, next time we go to a movie, we'll say, Richard, we are going to a movie. We are not paying
That's
for
right.
you.
You need
I don't
to
know
bring
if I can go.
Money.
Yes. Now the question
well,
is, can the con department reimburse
me,
Alan for the $6?
Sure. Ask Melissa.
Cool.
Excellent. I will go ask for that $6, but you can just count it as my Christmas gift
now,
to you.
Be fair, I offered to pay you back.
You did, but I'm more than happy to give you the Christmas gift because you gave me the Christmas gift of the opening for the show.
Yes.
You paid for this already.
Yeah.
I feel like you know, there's an even exchange of sorts.
It feels about even. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
amazing.
That was about
I'm
$6
here for the movie. I didn't bring any money.
Yeah.
No,
and I'm very hungry.
They don't take Discover card. Like,
what can you do for me?
I'm starving. All I have is a Discover card because I want my 5% back on the $6 movie.
Hey,
and I refuse to use some other form of payment.
Don't you diss the
yes,
5%.
Yes, I have other cards, but I want my 5%.
Don't you diss my 5%.
Do you have only one card, Richard?
I want my 30 cents.
This is a fair question. You
I
only
had
have one
two
card.
Once deactivated.
So what? Not, why did the other one not work?
No, that was a Discover. The other one was a debit card.
Oh, so the Discover card they don't take, which is the one he had. The other card doesn't work.
So you showed up with no way of paying intentionally, is what it sounds like.
Sure sounds like it.
Well, I mean, I didn't know it was deactivated, so I intended to pay with the debit card. And I assume Discover, who doesn't take Discover, seems like a valid.
I'll admit, it's a little weird they don't take Discover. You know who I look for my determination of whether something's a valid form of payment or not? Yeah. The guy with the deactivated card. It feels like that's a wise choice. Yeah. Hey, Rich, is this card going to work? Sure.
You know what you can never trust?
Sure, dude.
You know what you can't trust? Cash.
That'll never get you
in the theater.
Ever.
No.
Don't like cash.
No.
You don't have to like it for it to be effective.
It kind of paid off for you, didn't it?
Should we start on talking about Rogue One then?
We should.
Why?
We should.
We have such a great topic here.
So we thought we'd talk about the good.
Yes.
The okay.
Yes.
And the ugly.
One of those lists is much longer than the other two for me.
I had a feeling you liked it, so it's probably your good list is long.
Yes.
I've got a long list of bad, but only one real complaint.
Okay.
But let's start with the good.
Yes.
I'll start.
Go ahead. You said you had something you wanted to kick things off with, so.
Oh, no, that was
Richard. That was humiliating me.
Yeah, we're going to kick Richard to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to kick me physically? I might hear.
It's a radio show. That really wouldn't translate.
Yeah, right. The verbal abuse plays way better.
Yeah,
we'll wait to the live show.
It does.
Yeah. So the movie was a great movie, like a totally enjoyable movie, like a great popcorn. Not that I had the popcorn to actually enjoy with the film, but it's like a great popcorn kind of movie. You know, like you just
It's better than a popcorn movie because your standard for popcorn movies is like the Transformers franchise.
No,
and this is so much better.
And you're
than
not a Michael Bay fan, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we may walk around to that in a minute, but that's okay.
Okay.
No one should be a Michael Bay fan.
Yeah.
No one should be Michael Bay fan.
I think calling this a popcorn movie is to do a disservice to the movie.
I think don't appreciate popcorn movies like I do.
No, I do. But I appreciate this on a whole other level.
Of course you do, because it's Star Wars.
No.
Yes.
Because it's awesome.
Because it's Star Wars.
And because there it's Star Wars.
There is this circular kind of logic.
No, it's awesome.
Star Wars equals awesome.
No, the prequels were very good.
For the prequels?
I mean, Star Wars has churned out some okay movies. Yeah.
Holiday special.
But in terms of the popcorniness of the movie, like it was a great action adventure sci-fi kind of film.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. It moved along. Yeah. It had the appropriate level of action. It was well done that way.
Oh, the battle scene at the end, the invasion of Scarif, was fantastic. Like I thought that was the third act of the movie was excellent.
Yes. Which suggests the first two weren't, perhaps?
No. Just that battle scene was fantastic.
Especially good for you. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you sounded like you were going to say something else.
No, I was waiting for you.
And silence.
Thought you had something.
Yeah. No, I thought overall I would put it up there probably with the best of the Star Wars franchise.
Most people have been.
I would put it up there, like, second
or third for most people.
Yeah, it would fall into there. Like, I would probably put it second.
So better than The Force Awakens?
I think so, yes. Well,
you're coming to see The Force Awakens like I...
I still like The Force Awakens, but I think this might have been...
I love The Force Awakens, but it's very derivative.
For different reasons, I think this might be a better film.
Why is it better?
Than Force Awakens.
I want you to acknowledge what we've argued about on the radio program.
No, it has nothing to do with
it.
Because there are other reviews that I've read of Rogue One that have talked about why this movie is better, and it's those reasons that I agree with.
Yeah.
Basically Edwards got out all of kind of the cheesy sort of pandering aspects of the Star Wars franchise. There's no cutesy moments.
The Force Awakens was pretty panderish.
It's got an element of that. There's no romance or throwaway gags, which Force Awakens had those.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not that they necessarily take away from the movie for me, but I can see
the robot.
But yeah, like Rogue One I thought did a really good job of I guess sort of distilling a movie down to kind of the core of what makes the Star Wars films great.
That's the challenge for a Star Wars film, I think. It's like, how do you thread that needle? Yeah. It needs to be a Star Wars film, but The Force Awakens was almost too much a Star Wars film.
In some ways, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I totally agree. One of the things I loved about this film that kind of made it a Star Wars film were the visuals.
Yes.
Sort of the different planets and the huge panoramic vistas that you see.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, when you get down to the individual characters, like a very gritty kind of film.
Yeah.
You know, like not too polished, not too clean. Like what the Rebels ought to look like.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I really liked about it was like the depiction. Kind of, both the Empire and the Rebellion were depicted as much more fractured in this movie, particularly the rebellion.
Right.
Which I kind of liked the idea that, yeah, I mean, this rebellion is a very sort of ragtag, cobbled together sort of group of people that they're not going to all sort of get along. Whereas in the old movies, they always seem to be
right.
all kind of unified and all, you know, perfectly good and perfect.
Small quibble. If you're going to get the rebels together to try to negotiate what their strategy is going to be,
mm-hmm.
you probably ought to have like one representative each in the room. You shouldn't have like a huge mob behind them
everybody.
Shouting back and forth at each other.
Yeah. Well, but that's part of their ragtag nature.
Yeah, it was a little too ragtaggy.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you would like a small group of people sort of lording it over all the other rebels.
I think that that's
yeah,
how
–
You'd like more of a dictatorship.
That's how rebellions actually function.
You actually want an oligarchy is what you're looking
you
for.
No, you vote on somebody. It's very democratic. They mm-hmm. go to the meeting. You don't send the whole group to the meeting.
Okay.
One, because there's not enough chance.
But maybe those were all the representatives. Maybe those are all the people that had been elected.
I don't know. It looked like they were all standing behind their rep.
Yeah. Could be.
You know.
So.
So how'd you feel about the droids?
Oh, I like the droids.
I did.
K2SO?
I like K2SO.
I did like him.
Although, we should call him K2SOL, right?
Oh, God.
Right?
I forgot you had that joke in your pocket.
No?
It wasn't funny the first time you told me.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Maybe Rich doesn't get SOL?
No, I totally, yeah. He I think, gets it. I mean, again.
Yeah, because good things don't end up happening to K2SO.
Or, you know.
Anyone.
Mostly anyone in this movie.
Right.
By the way, there will be spoilers.
Yes, Dan.
Oh, okay, so, good. I wasn't sure if we were going to just bounce around that.
Just a heads up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would put K2SO up there with the best of the droids.
Yeah.
I totally loved him as a droid.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of make me mad that as you kind of move forward chronologically, the droids get lamer in the series.
Yeah, it sort of shows that the future
like
movies,
it just makes
the
C-3PO
quote unquote future
so,
movies aren't
yeah,
as
like,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean 3PO not like new. Well, 3PO's right. never been cool since.
But they should have made clunkier droids in the prequels and through this. I think.
In terms of like, to,
they just seem too high tech because then all of a sudden the droids you see.
I have an explanation.
I'm
for that.
I'm sure you do, and I'm sure.
But we don't need
totally
one.
Make believe.
Is there a list to go with it?
It's not totally. No, there's not a list. But yeah, no. I mean, because again, one of the one of the other things that I really liked about this movie was mm-hmm. that it felt sort of a piece in terms of the design of the technology and the costumes with the original Star Wars. Like, that's the problem with the prequels, is the prequels feel too slick and advanced, and then you're like, well, wait a minute, how do we end up with this very...
Yeah, but you'd want the K2SO.
But here's the reason.
The
what? I see it as an implicit critique of fascism, that under the Empire, technology actually goes backwards, that the Empire does not inspire innovation.
But he's an Imperial droid.
What's your point? I don't really understand that.
Like, the Imperials made
point
the more advanced version. The Rebels
the
had the less advanced
the
version.
Droid.
Well, I don't think the Rebel ones are less advanced.
Look at C-3PO. Which one can walk
faster?
The
dude can barely walk. He shuffles.
Like,
no, he's a protocol droid.
Like,
he's supposed to stand there
arms.
And translate things. They're not made for walking.
I don't even think he can put his arms to his sides. I think he literally cannot unbend his arms.
These droids ain't made for walking. Ooh, I feel like a song coming.
These droids ain't made for
walking. That's not what they're going to do.
One of
these droids
are
going to
translate for
him.
You. No, he doesn't walk, so he can't walk all over.
That's why I said he isn't going to walk all over
you. No, he's
going to
translate
for
you.
My version was better.
Mine was way better.
Mine was way better.
All right.
And you watched the movie with them.
Can I just say...
We were well behaved during the movie.
Was it?
You were. I was surprised a great deal.
Does it make me a bad person that when K2SO is destroyed, like I felt no emotional connection?
You didn't. Oh, come on! That was heartbreaking.
He's a machine.
It's like
your phone in the toilet.
He's a lovable machine.
Oh my God!
And that's the difference.
No. Dropping your phone. In the toilet.
Same thing. It's a piece of technology gone bad.
I was
you
disappointed he died because he was more interesting than most other people.
Are you serious?
You drowned Siri. That's not cool, man.
He's
what?
A droid. We should not fall in love with droids. But you know what we should fall in love with? The ending of this film.
Yes.
If I had any questions about the film, the way it ended was absolutely brilliant.
In terms of?
I didn't think they'd pull the trigger.
No.
Literally. Like, I did not think.
Yeah.
No.
They would pull the trigger and everybody would die.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of a bummer.
Spoiler.
Because you get used to, you know, you kind of almost want to see the characters keep going because you do like some
I'm
of them.
I'm not sure I want to see all
so
of them
thing,
keep
I don't
going.
Want to see them all go. And that's another thing that I really do give the movie credit for because
absolutely.
I never for the life of me
Yeah.
There was no way, because like you watch, you see the previews of the film, you know what the film's going to be. I'm like, there's no way any of these people survived.
Yeah.
They would have to show up again.
Right.
In the later movies. The only way for this movie to work is for them to all die. And I'm like, there's no way. Like Disney and Star Wars.
Not what Star Wars does.
You know,
right?
they're all about the merchandising. Yeah. And I'm like, there is no, so I give them a lot of credit.
Oh, I totally
that,
do.
You know, Edward's doing it in terms of the direction, Disney and kind of the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whatever, sort of letting them do it. I was like, I never thought they would kill everyone. And then I'm just watching the movie. I'm like, okay, everybody, oh my God. Yeah. Like, everybody's gone.
And the death on the beach is just like, it's a really, really powerful moment.
Yeah.
Like, nicely done's not the right way to put it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's how that film ought to end.
Yes.
You know, I complain about films all the time that have to contrive some kind of a hokey, happy ending.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have that. Like, what happens is what should happen, and it's done right.
Yeah, no, and that's one of the things that I really – I think that's probably one of the things I like the most about Rogue One is that it does what in this day and age you no longer do with a film.
Absolutely.
Like, which is why which we talked about this with, like, Stranger Things on Netflix. Like, do your one story.
Be done.
And be done.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Rogue One did.
The idea that they would contain that.
Like,
not
do your one story, and it's
whatever.
Done. Like, I don't need to see Jyn and, you know, the continuing adventures of Jyn Erso.
Right, no.
Like, you wrote the one perfect movie for all of these characters.
And then be done. Which is why, to me, I think I would rate it my second favorite Star Wars film.
Yeah.
First would be the first one.
Oh, the first Star Wars. Okay.
New Hope?
Yeah. There you go. The New Hope.
Yeah.
I think because...
We just call it Star Wars.
Whatever you want.
That's what it is.
Okay. Wow.
I don't...
I think
I'm a purist.
No, Star Wars fights.
But it's called Solo's a New Hope. But that's
it's called Star Wars.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean,
I've never seen him
this
forceful about anything.
I don't care. It is Star Wars.
So we'll call it Star Wars. That, oh I think God. That'll always be my favorite because I saw it when I was a really little kid.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind.
See, Empire was the first of them that I saw in the theater. Yeah. So that's the one that's always number one for me. Is
Star Wars / A New Hope, whatever you want to call it, was the first one I saw in theaters. And I was really little. And it was just, whoa.
Yeah.
But I think I would put this one second in part because I kind of like movies that are standalones.
Yeah.
I don't need all of the build-offs.
Mm-hmm.
What it ended, I just thought, so nicely.
It did. Well, in
space and on the planet.
It's interesting because the thing I like about it is the ways in which it very much struck similar chords as Empire.
Mm-hmm.
In that when Empire came out, like a lot of people and you see reviews now, they're like, that's too dark of a movie for Star Wars. Like you can't kill everybody off in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when Empire came out, and you have, you know, Han Solo frozen in carbonite, Luke's hand cut off.
Yeah.
I am sure people were like, this is too dark. And yet now today, like it's one,
it's
basically either that or Star Wars
prequels, you know?
That people say are the best.
Yeah, because they use the prequels, you know.
And the other thing that's funny is that it manages, even though it is a prequel to Star Wars, the way it ends feels kind of like the middle film of a trilogy. Like Empire kind of ended with, you know, Han being kidnapped and Lando going off to see him, to find him.
Yeah.
Like it had that very kind of open ending.
I never liked that ending.
And
like
I felt Rogue One pulled it off because we know what happens next.
Right, right. I just, the thing I never liked about Empire was it felt so open ended.
Oh, see, I loved that.
It didn't feel like the movie ended.
Oh, I did.
If that so, we're talking about what was really good, though. I'm sure you've got a longer list you want to talk about.
Oh, I've got I've got plenty of other things.
Okay,
pages
to talk of it because so much of it. I thought it managed the fairly large cast of characters very well.
Yeah,
I'm
going to talk about some about that, but that kind of falls into my less positive.
You know
but
I know some reviewers have complained about them not having much depth.
Yeah,
but I thought I thought they had enough. Like I didn't think. They felt kind of like cardboard cutouts.
I thought a couple did, but we'll talk about that when we get to the other.
I didn't feel like that about them. I didn't feel like any of them were underserved. I felt they were all served just well enough that their deaths felt meaningful to me. Like their deaths didn't just feel like there was some sort of of chord that struck with them.
I've got some questions about
that. So
that
was something that I really liked.
You know who else really liked the film?
Who?
Danny Handcuff.
Yes.
He was there. We asked him to write a 50-word review.
Yeah, should we talk about who Danny Handcuff is for our listeners?
Nope. He's a 17-year-old guy who happened to be at the theater with us.
Yes.
His father works with us.
There you go.
He goes to school with my son,
Bobby. I was kind of waiting for that. Yeah.
I was wondering if he was going to get to that point.
Yeah, exactly. I was like,
random kids at the theater.
Yeah, the 17-year-old kid that showed up at the movie theater with us.
We started asking them questions approach the first
But you know what?
17-year-olds all the time.
But you know what I can guarantee?
I live with a dorm full of 17-year-olds.
You know what I can guarantee?
I'm a wash.
Danny showed up to the movie with $6.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything.
I can guarantee you that.
So here's Danny Handcuff's review.
Yes.
He begins, "Dear hosts of the mashup," which disappointed me because he got the title wrong for the podcast.
But he showed us the proper respect.
True. He goes on to say, "You'll like it even more. It was an honor seeing this movie with you."
Oh.
I thought that was nice. And I have a little review for the movie Rogue One.
He's only got 50 words. And
it's taken him a long time
used up
to
like
get
15.
There, yeah. I thought the movie was a great addition to the Star Wars universe, and I really don't have any big issues with it like I did with Episode 7.
Okay.
Unlike Episode 7, where I only really cared for Han Solo, I felt emotion for the entire main cast.
Okay.
Your point.
Yep.
The only minor issue I have is the Polar Express-looking CGI Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Overall, I would rate it with an A. Best wishes, Danny Handcuff.
Okay.
So you and Danny seem to be on the same page.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways. Now, I also have a review from a 17-year-old.
Yeah, do you want to explain that? Because you're just hanging out with 17-year-old boys?
Yes.
Please
well,
do,
this would
because
be
I'm
your son,
worried.
Bobby.
Yes.
Who,
oh,
who
that makes it okay then.
Yeah. Apparently. So, yeah, so this is what Bobby said.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the preamble. So.
I bet he's going to love it like Danny did.
Rogue One is my second favorite Star Wars film, only behind Jedi, which I find interesting because your favorite is Star Wars. Mine is Empire.
Yeah.
His is Jedi.
I tell him anybody who picks the Ewok film is totally wrong.
Vader was more multidimensional than in any film other than Jedi. It's the only film about a Star Wars foot soldier, which is fantastic. Leaving no one alive was a bold move. CGI was great, and it was well written. Also, my favorite depiction of the Empire to date. Oh, and the ties to previous films and Dark Forces were numerous but not overdone and appropriately subtle.
Wow. So 17-year-olds love it.
Yes.
You love it.
Yes.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Anything that you want to quibble with Bobby?
No. I've got a couple things, but I think we should wait till we kind of work our way through them.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have any other good stuff that you want to get through?
I sort of talked about the kind of – I did like the depiction of the rebellion, not just because of like the fractured nature of it.
Yeah.
But also the way in which that they made pretty clear that the rebels have had to do some pretty awful things.
Right.
Like Cassian, it's a very subtle bit in the movie because, you know, he meets with that guy.
Yeah.
And then just straight out kills him.
Right.
And then there's the scene later where he's walking with Jin and he's like, oh, yeah, this guy that works for Saw, you know, he's gone missing and his sister's looking for him. I'm like, pretty sure that's the dude you just killed.
Spoiler.
And so the way in which Cassian was a very sort of morally gray and clearly like his character arc was about the burden of that on him.
Well, he goes off not to rescue Galen Erso.
Right.
But to kill him.
Right.
Right?
But
and
you got to think about it.
And he's got Jin with him.
Yeah.
Right? So he's carrying that kind of burden with him too.
Yeah.
He's a guy that does the really ugly stuff to make a revolution happen.
But that, and that's the
that
thing.
We don't want to talk about or think about.
And that's the thing that I like because obviously you have at the end when he and the other band of rebels that have all done terrible things and all want to kind of redeem themselves for that, like join up with Jin for the big – like I thought that was – because you got to think about it. Yeah, they are basically – I mean certainly in the eyes of the Empire, the Rebellion's a terrorist group.
Yeah.
And they've had to use sort of terrorist and guerrilla tactics, which means doing some really awful and much less squeaky clean things.
Which is what I love about the grittiness of the film, right? Like it doesn't look away from that, that idea that like, terrorism is in some ways a matter of perspective, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and again, it kind of, you know, and again, that's the other thing that I really like about Rogue One that I haven't had a chance to think about as fully. It kind of changes the way I think about the subsequent movies.
And that's an interesting idea.
You know, that it kind of changes some of the, like, thinking about the very squeaky clean rebellion we see in New Hope, but that immediately comes after Rogue One.
It's one of the reasons I like this film better.
Yes.
One of the reviews I read that was less laudatory said a Star Wars film was always about good versus evil.
I think I read the same review.
Right? It's always good versus evil.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself.
Yeah, wasn't that the Forbes review that was like their top five things that are wrong with the movie?
Yeah, it's good versus evil. And I thought maybe like for little kids that plays, but for me as an adult watching a Star Wars film,
a Star Wars film? Not sure what a Star Wars film is.
I was hoping
is.
You would let that one pass.
Yeah.
No.
No
mercies.
Now it's going to occupy everybody's attention.
Yeah. Though actually, you know what we need to do for our next play?
What's
we need to write Star Wars.
Oh, we should totally do Star Wars.
Isn't that already on like History Channel?
That's Storage Wars.
Which is also quality. Like you can spend an afternoon watching Storage Wars.
You could.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. Well, I spent my time doing a lot of stuff not so good.
Anywho, back to Rogue One.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm totally with you.
I agree with you.
This made the film better because it did. Was
the guy said, his top five list, like that was the last thing. And his line is, it's missing that special something that makes Star Wars what it is. And he writes it in a very deliberately vague way, but it's clearly he likes the very kind of simplistic morality of there's good and there's evil.
If you think about Star Wars, I mean, the original comes out late 70s, but it's kind of an 80s kind of phenomenon in many ways. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like in that way, sort of an Age of Reagan kind of phenomenon where maybe Americans like to think about the world in those kinds of terms. It only makes sense that Rogue One, made 30 years later and made like with a whole different historical experience around us, looks different.
Well, but I think also part of it is that I think for this reviewer, it really muddies the depiction of the rebels.
Yeah.
Like the rebels have had to do some awful things to succeed.
Why do we mythologize our own revolution, right? We do it for the same reason he wants to kind of cling to
and I'm
that
just
idea
like,
that like the human experience is an experience of good versus evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, well, very clearly there is good, there is evil, there is nothing in between.
No.
And that's what the special something. And I like that Rogue One kind of got into the murk of it.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. So that again, another thing that I thought the movie did really well, and I know Edwards is a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And whereas we might think of that as an impediment to making a really good Star Wars movie, like he seems to have been able to take like his fanishness and kind of distill the movie down to something that gets rid of all the cutesy stuff and yet still very much feels like a Star Wars movie.
Fanishness can be a terrific advantage or it can be a huge disadvantage.
I just think about the fact because I think about the fact that he was not the original director for this. It was the guy that did the Fantastic Four movie. Josh Trank.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, did we dodge a bullet?
Yeah.
Like when Edwards took over and like, this is the guy that did the most recent Godzilla. I'm like, oh, that is not a ringing endorsement.
But I think he did what Trank wanted to do with Fantastic Four, but he did it right.
Yeah.
Which was change it and make it a little grittier and a little more real and a little more indie in its feel, but without sacrificing sort of that inherent quality of Star Warsiness in it. What'd you feel if we move on to my list of kind of the okay?
Okay, yeah.
Like the chemistry between Jyn Erso and Cassian Andor.
I liked it. I thought they were fine together.
I thought they were, but I would say just fine.
Yeah.
Well, but I think,
I didn't think it really sort of,
But I kind of agree. Like, I mean, it depends what you mean by the chemistry between them. Because one of the things that I really liked is we didn't have the romance subplot between them.
Not talking about romance so much. It's just their ability to kind of, like, I don't know. Like, I thought it was just okay. And especially because Diego Luna was so good in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights. Right? That you would expect he would bring that
I have
with
not
him.
Seen the Dirty Dancing
Well, that was
going to
be my question for you. Had you seen it? Because Vicky said as soon as she saw him on the screen, she's like, I know I saw that guy in a dance movie at some point. And it was, in fact, Havana Nights.
And it was, in fact, Havana Nights.
Yeah.
Which wasn't that – like, that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, Dan,
he must
before
have been
you
really
go see
young.
It, you should watch Havana Nights as kind of a prequel to Rogue One.
I've seen Diego Luna in numerous things, not including that film, and I don't think I want to add that one to the
rest. It's funny that nobody wants to admit seeing it.
I'm sorry.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I'm now writing it. I'm now writing in my head. I'm now writing Dirty Dancing Jeddah City Nights.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I'm not
like
just kind it. Of. It's one of the places in the movie.
Yeah. They go to a place called Jeddah. Yeah. If you don't explain that, it makes no sense.
I thought it was like a play on the word Jedi.
It's not. I think it's meant to be in the movie because they do have like, it's where they have the crystals for the lightsabers are mined there. There's a couple of very large fallen statues of guys in hoods and I'm like holding staffs and I'm like, I think it might have been like a Jedi city and it's been sort of corrupted into Jeddah.
So it's like South Beach.
Yes.
All right.
Kind of.
Yeah. How do you feel about the CGI, like the use of Grand
that's
Moff
one of the,
Tarkin?
That was one of the things that I was – that's the one thing that's on my okay list.
Yeah.
Is
– Yeah.
We've seen – it's interesting because we've seen like the de-aging technology.
Right.
Like they de-aged for the third X-Men. They de-aged Patrick Stewart for Last Stand. And it looked pretty cheesy. And the other one was they did Michael Douglas in Ant-Man, which that actually was pretty good. Yeah. And so we've seen – but this is kind of the
Tony
next
Stark,
step.
Too.
For
was it Civil War?
Yeah, Civil War.
That's right. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. That's right. I totally forgot about that. You're right. So that's really come a long way. This is kind of the next step.
Yes.
you know, they still felt a bit kind of in the uncanny valley, not quite there.
Well, Polar Express-y. I think Danny got that right.
Yeah, like it's not. It's well,
better than Polar Express, but.
Yeah, I thought for sure, like, when they just. When the first shot of Tarkin shows up and you just see his reflection in the mirror,
yeah.
I thought, as another reviewer that I was like, that's all we're going to see of him. But they actually use him as a fully fleshed out character in the movie.
I thought it was a little overdone. I love that they stayed with Cushing, right?
Right.
That they're using that image.
Yeah.
But I felt like they overused it.
Right.
I think sort of glancing at him and moving on might have made more sense.
I'm sure you remember when they started doing the commercials in the 80s using footage of dead actors. I remember it was like, you know, Jimmy Stewart or someone selling Dancing with like a Vacuum.
Yeah.
And I remember that people were up in arms about that.
Yeah.
This immediately sort of, particularly with Peter Cushing, since he is dead.
Right.
Like that immediately kind of put this in my mind. Like, is this a step too far? And I found the UK's Independent talked about it, and basically they described it as the use of the CGI on Cushing and to a less extent Leia was verging on the dystopian. And what the idea that we might have to start thinking about how we're represented after death and taking steps to ensure we don't have our identities passed off in ways we wouldn't want is a big deal and is much bigger than cinema. And then they pointed out that Robin Williams actually placed the rights to his name and likeness in a protected trust until 2039.
Yeah.
So that people can't use it. Well, so we're already at the point where we have to think about this.
When I saw it, I took it for what I hope it was, which was sort of a nod to Peter Cushing.
Yes.
Right? To say, out of respect to him or in honor of his memory, we're not going to recast the role.
Right. Well, I think.
And we're going to. And so, like, as long as his heirs.
They clearly had to approve
have approved it. And
I think Cushing was – I read a couple of things that said Cushing, like, really loved playing the role. And so they think Cushing would have been fine with it himself.
If people want to use my likenesses after, that's cool.
I'm not sure I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with them using your likeness.
Right.
That's yes. I also approve
sell
that.
Sell anything they want.
I'm not sure I want that. It's an interesting question because it kind of raised the question of – I guess it depends how widespread it becomes.
But
like, I can see
here.
But now, are we going to start actually doing movies for the specific purpose of using the CGI?
Right. Well, notice both characters were very static, though. Like,
they've
got a long ways to go before we can actually turn them into
like,
fully usable characters.
Right.
Grand Moff Tarkin, Leia, they more or less.
Well, the Leia in particular was much rougher than Tarkin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there were moments with Tarkin where I was like, wow, that is really,
really
close.
Yeah, I thought Tarkin was pretty on point.
That was really, really close. Like,
but that's why they needed to do it quicker.
Yeah.
It was the longer he stayed on screen, I think, the more you were like, oh, like, it's not Peter Cushing.
Yeah, so that was an interesting.
I was surprised they even did it with Leia. They didn't just do, like, the back of her head kind of, like, and show a face.
I thought they were going to do that when the door first opened. And then I was like, well, I mean, they've already done it with Cushing. Like, why
not?
Why wouldn't you do it with young Leia?
Yeah.
At the same time, I think you probably could have gotten like some other actor, because I know in Revenge of the Sith, they got the guy that played Scorpius in the series Farscape, played Tarkin. It's a very distant shot, but you see Tarkin, and he looks enough like Cushing that I think audiences would have accepted him as like kind of understanding, like, yeah, you know, we would have gotten Peter Cushing, but. Yeah. Obviously, he's not available.
Well, as we're moving from sort of the okay to the questionable things about the movie, I have my Christmas gift for you.
Okay. Wait, is this more of your okay?
No, this is the big surprise.
Oh, I think I might know what it is.
I thought the big surprise was humiliating me.
You have no bad.
No.
No.
No, I've got bad.
Okay.
I have one bad.
Not that good of a Christmas.
I've got a bunch of questions for you.
Okay. I've got one bad, too. I wonder if it's the same bad.
You may remember that when we first started the radio show, it was inspired by a student who was currently at the university.
Oh, yes.
A young Cal.
Yes.
Who convinced us that we should do a radio show,
who,
and you know, in some ways is to blame for what we're doing right now.
Yes.
Well, he went to see Rogue One, and he posted something that was not very laudatory.
No.
Facebook, in fact, he said it tasted like vomit.
Oh, no, he said.
Is what he said.
He said that he expects a certain taste.
Eat the film.
He expects a certain taste from Star Wars. That taste is not vomit.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking
about.
So, I believe it's a direct quote.
I sent Cal a Facebook message in which I said, Patrick really loves the film, and apparently you don't. Would you mind sending your critique of the film along? So my surprise for you is that I brought
Cal's critique
with us.
Okay.
And on CG Tarkin,
yes,
he said he gets why they did it,
mm-hmm.
But did they have to make him look like he was made from vinyl siding? I think Cal had some quality issues.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I mean, the Tarkin was a little bit still in the uncanny valley. Like, even closer to looking actually human, but still recognizably not.
Right.
And so it's kind of that moment of like, oh, that's almost there, and yet it's almost being there. It kind of makes it even more creepy.
Yeah. Well, then moving into the okay to the questionable, Cal and I agreed on a couple of issues in terms of the acting.
Okay.
Neither one of us were big fans of Forrest Whitaker in the film. Cal writes that he caught Forrest Whitaker overacting.
Mm.
And I felt like he was kind of chewing the scenery at some point.
Oh, a little
as
bit,
opposed
yes.
to sort of... Yeah. He felt like a little over the top to me, like in a way that I thought detracted from what could have been a really more interesting character.
Yeah.
Had I not felt like, there's Forrest Whitaker acting.
Yeah. I
right?
can see that.
As opposed to, so, Saw Gerrera, is that his name?
Yeah. Or, something like that.
Yeah. Both Cal and I kind of wondered about that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He also questioned your take on some of the characters. He said the characters that he actually gave a damn about were underwritten. And he talks about, I'm going to get the names wrong, Chirrut
Imwe.
And Baze.
Yes.
Those are the two show up in Jeddah?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are sort of the guardians of the temple.
Yeah, those are my favorite.
Guardians of the Will, I think is what they're called.
Well, but it is a temple, right? That's kind of sitting there.
They're called Guardians of the Will.
Okay, Guardians of the Will.
It's a temple of the Will. So the Guardians of the Temple go.
Right. I kind of felt like Baze in particular, like the blind guy's sidekick, was pretty underwritten.
Fair enough.
Like, he was a guy that I'm like, I'd like to know more about him, but he kind of comes off kind of flat and, to me, verging almost on a stereotype.
Well, both him and Chirrut, I think, kind of run the risk of veering into stereotypes.
And that's my one complaint with the film.
Okay.
Because you spent about 5 minutes on Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Beating the film up for its orientalism, right?
Yes.
Sort of the way in which it used Asian stereotypes in ways that kind of reified and flattened the other.
Possibly, yes.
Yes. So would it be fair to say that Chirrut Imwe runs the same kind of risk? That he becomes kind of an oriental stereotype. Like, he has this sort of wisdom, but he always delivers it kind of like a fortune cookie. Like he says to Cassian, you live in a cage, but you carry it everywhere with you.
Yes.
You know, or
Yoda talks like that a lot as well.
That's Bobby's defense is that, that Jedi's talk about this. But when you make it an Asian American or an Asian character,
right,
and then you give the character
he's not Asian because there aren't Asians in the Star Wars universe. They don't have Asia.
Fair enough, but
that's
but
my
the
defense.
Point. Yeah,
it's technically not. They don't have the Orient.
Yes,
in
but
Star
so
Wars.
Wait, now let's step outside the Star Wars universe for a minute and let's imagine it in the world
like
we actually.
You want me to go from the Star Wars universe into the world we actually live?
Yes.
No, I don't want to do that. Have you
that
looked
was
at the world
whole beating
we actually
up of Doctor Strange?
Do you,
was
have
what
you
it,
looked
the
at the world we actually
it have
in
for the
these days?
World that we live in?
Yes, but the Doctor Strange bit was, I think, before
because you don't love Doctor Strange as much as you love Star Wars.
No, I will admit. I mean, I will give you
Star Wars gets a little bit off. You know, that,
well, because
to
my
me, that was the one moment where you're like,
because
my one
negative actually does kind of relate to that as well.
Yeah.
In a very understated way is when you have Jyn brought before the rebels at the very beginning and they're explaining why they need her.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, Saw Gerrera, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
How he split from the rebels and sort of formed his own faction.
Yes.
And there's moment where Mon Mothma says that it was Saw's militancy that was problematic. And then you have Forrest Whitaker playing him. I'm like, oh, that's not the word I would have used to describe the group being led by the black man that's not doing what the white leaders of the rebellion want to do.
So like there's a little
like calling him the militant. I was like, oh no, not that word.
So
not that word.
I'm not saying it undermines the entire film, but I think there are moments with Saw and with Chirrut where you're like, oh, like, you know, like that racial kind of underpinning is it's kind of exposed.
Now I kinda wonder if that was intentional on Edward's part. From what I can tell of the movie, it doesn't seem like it was because nothing ever follows up with it. But I was like, did we really just make Saw Gerrera a black militant? Because I'm kind of like, that's a little – and that he has to be sort of, you know, reined in and that, you know,
but
he's
then
a
think about
threat
the way,
to the rebellion.
But think about the way Whitaker then plays him, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of an almost unhinged kind of
very
crazy. Loud, out of control character, which kind of reinforces that militancy point you're making, right? That we're stumbling very close to sort of racially problematic
Yeah.
Territory.
There's one, because there's that moment when Mon Mothma says that. She looks at, you know, I think she looks at the general that's the one that ordered the assassination and says it's his militancy. And there's like a clearly loaded moment. I'm like, okay, clearly something happened.
Right.
I'd kind of like to know what that is.
Yeah.
But clearly, and they're actually, they're bringing Gaara onto Star Wars Rebels, the animated show. They announced that he's going to be part of next season or the continuing season. Like, he's going to be a recurring character. So maybe they're going to pursue it there. But that was the one part that really I was like, oh, not that word.
Yeah.
Like, just don't – any other word would kind of work.
To me, if there was anything in the film that made me say, could have been done a little bit better.
Yeah.
Those moments.
Yeah.
Two more points from Cal then. And then I have a series of Star Wars questions for you.
All right. I am ready.
He said towards the end, the Cassian-Jin relationship seemed a little forced.
There's the moment
when – I think he's kind of right. When they're going up the elevator –
or going down the elevator.
Whichever way they're going. They're in an elevator and it goes dark.
They're like really close. Yes. Yeah. There was a moment where I was like, oh, no, let's not do that. And like, please don't let them kiss. Like, I don't like.
Right.
I agree. There was a moment.
They didn't kiss at the end.
No.
A victory for the film.
Yes. And again, I think they kind of bond on this level of kind of two kind of very broken warriors.
Yeah.
Sort of having that moment of understanding. But I will agree. There's this moment of like, oh, that's odd because you haven't really played that up much in this movie.
Right. Right. So let me give you Cal's final point, because I've got a long list of things you need to respond to.
Okay. All right.
As the Star Wars expert.
I'll be quiet.
All right. I'm going to quote. This is a direct quote from Cal.
I'll blame you.
To make sure that I did not in any way influence this comment. Quote, that said, after this long list of complaints, that said, it made a fine Michael Bay movie. And I told you we would walk back to Michael Bay eventually.
Oh, come on. There was not enough explosions.
I'm not done yet, Rich.
Oh, okay.
It made a fine Michael Bay movie, and I was pleasantly surprised when I learned Williams didn't do the score. I thought the music was well done. But I'd like you to talk about the Michael Bay moment.
Oh.
Yeah, no. That to call this a Michael Bay movie is that – I mean, Cal's just an idiot.
Like, well,
that's what I have to say. The third idiot.
I mean
– Yeah, we've got three idiots on the show.
And I haven't seen it. But to call anything a Michael Bay film was just horrible. And now,
now you've insulted me. I love the Transformers franchise.
No, because you like them on an ironic, these are actually crap level.
Yeah, but they're great.
He embraces Star Wars.
He knows they're crap.
No, he does not know.
He does not know.
You need to speak with him.
No.
Can we get Michael Bay on the program? We should get him on the couch.
Michael Bay and me in the same room.
It would be great.
Now I absolutely do.
Can we do Even More Mashed Up on the couch where we bring in a celebrity, they sit on the couch between us, and we just
Invite them. We'll just kidnap them and bring them in.
Well, Rich, would you invite Michael Bay, please, to the podcast?
Even better.
He won't come, but I'll invite him.
So. Ooh, the More Mashed Up tweeter ought to send something to Michael Bay.
Yeah, but okay.
No, the Cal, Twitter should. The tweeter doesn't exist.
Cal is now the idiot of idiots on this show.
Wow, even bigger than me?
Yes.
Even bigger than me?
Wow.
Thank you, Cal.
Say it.
You paused. Why'd you pause?
Who's the bigger idiot?
I'm thinking about
Cal or Rich.
I'm thinking about that one.
Now,
well, I'm just gonna point out, Cal just said that a Star Wars film looked like it was made by Michael Bay.
I mean, I didn't say that.
This is true.
That's ridiculous. Like, that is...
Like, there's a lot of things you can underhandedly say about a film, but to say it was made by Michael Bay...
that's terrible.
Now I need some Star Wars experts to answer questions for me.
I'm here.
Question about the Force.
Yes.
When Chirrut needs to turn on the comm panel...
Yes.
He walks across the field saying, I am one with the Force, the Force is with me, and nobody can hit him.
Correct.
Right? Why doesn't he just do that on the way back?
That's...
Because instead, he just walks back without protection.
No, no, no. He doesn't. No, he doesn't walk back. They throw a bomb at the thing and
He stops.
He starts walking back, and
he doesn't keep saying. I think he's still,
I am one with the Force. The Force is with me.
I'm he's still standing.
Why don't all Jedi do this?
Also, question.
Because apparently, you cannot be touched.
Why doesn't he use the Force? Like, he doesn't. Like, at no point does he actually use the Force.
Well, he's not a Jedi. I think he's like some like Jedi novitiate or something like that. They actually had a. Read a title like he's a Jedi something, which means I don't think he's quite.
Anyway, my point being, if the Force could protect him on the way there, why didn't the Force protect him on the way back?
Because the Force, I think, was done with him once he flipped the Master Switch. He served
his purpose.
He fulfilled his destiny.
The Force is kind of a son of a bitch. Then.
Yeah.
Language!
Sorry.
Jeez.
Well, it's true. If that's the case, like,
The little midichlorians inside of him were like, yeah, that's about it.
Wow. Okay.
They're like, we're
done. Is that a thing? Like, the Force can just be done with someone?
I don't know.
Why don't the Jedi do this more often? Like,
they talk about the Force and destiny all the time. Chirrut fulfilled his destiny.
How about Obi-Wan Kenobi with Darth Vader? Just saying, I'm one with the Force. Then he never gets struck down.
Well, he does get struck down to become a more powerful...
If he just said, I'm one with the Force.
Yeah, he's not more powerful. He's just a ghost.
Right. How does that make it more powerful?
I don't know. I never understood
that.
Are
you literally texting while we're on
yeah,
the air?
Yeah, I think I might have left my office door open because Joe is taking pictures of my office. It says, nice office. Be ashamed if something happened to it. So I might have left
Clearly,
my office
Clearly, we
open.
Need to make this.
Let's wrap this bad
let's
boy up.
Extend this podcast. All right. Next question. Why is it that nobody's run health ads about emphysema in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, because of all the breathing apparatus?
They're all.
Yeah.
Like, they're all. They're like, I'm like, come on, people. Like,
so seriously.
That's my question. Like, should somebody just do like a public service?
You think Vader
campaign?
And Gera's, you know, be needing that machinery
yes.
is because of their like 5-pack-a-day habit?
I'm just saying, there's clearly something emphysemic going on in the Star Wars
if
universe.
If by emphysemic you mean like Vader having his lungs corroded with,
yeah,
you
why
know,
can't they just clone new
that
lungs?
Could be molten emphysemic.
Lava.
Yeah.
Why can't they just clone new lungs?
I'm just like sure, come on, like another guy with I don't know.
They can travel through planets, but they don't have better
he's
medicine.
He's clearly like Vader. He has like metal legs. He's clearly had some tough road.
People need to stay away from volcanoes.
I don't know about that.
So yeah. So it's yeah.
But wouldn't it be great? Like, what character would you have do it?
Do what?
The public service announcement
for
emphysema.
Will you pay attention?
Where have you been?
What are we talking about?
Well, if you're gonna do it like
just,
those,
you're trying
other,
to stay in your Star Wars happy.
If you're
place,
gonna do
I
it like
it.
Those other commercials where yeah. they have like the woman that has the it's got to be Vader,
right?
Like
or
Vader
Saw.
Would have to sit there yeah. and be, you know, yeah. this is how I used to sound. You know, is I used only, to not have to spend every 24 hours a day in a giant tank of Bacta.
Yeah. I still want to know, like, what I wish they went into. I know they wouldn't, but I wish they went into that more about, like, what is yeah. this like daily regime?
Yeah,
oh, that
know,
would be good. Yeah, like,
that's a good yeah. movie. Yeah, let's
23
explain
hours
the nuts
in the KY jelly,
bacteria.
And then
yeah.
it comes out for
but
an
no,
hour.
No, but that would be a great DVD extra, like, you know, the day to day life of Darth Vader.
And it's just
12 a.m. back in the back to tank.
Like, you know, 18 hours in the tube, 6 hours of actually walking around.
Gotta get my killing in. I got lots to kill in little time. Because I cannot survive outside the fluid.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, raised questions.
Yeah. Did you like Darth Vader's castle?
Darth Vader's castle?
When Krennic goes and sees him, he's in a giant black castle. That's literally his castle.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Star Destroyer.
I guess so.
No. Krennic flies in this planet that's all like molten lava, and there's this giant black castle.
Oh, was that Darth Vader's castle?
That's Vader's castle.
I didn't know it was Vader's castle.
Oh, wow. Wait a minute.
I didn't get that
either. His castle is located on a planet of molten lava.
It looked like there was like lava stuff.
Did he not
no,
get
no,
enough?
No, it definitely was molten lava.
Did he not
learn at all?
He didn't learn from Mustafar, no. Or he's got some serious trauma-related issues.
Well, maybe that's why his breathing is so bad.
I don't know.
Because he's supposed to live on this lucky planet.
There's a lot of soot in there.
That could be it.
Right, exactly. So,
yeah.
I'd like to see Luke do the public service announcement. You know, my dad was once a good man.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Until he fell in a river of molten lava.
Then he cut off
I don't think
hand?
That was
no,
when
no,
he
no.
stopped being
it's
a good
be
man.
It's got to be like the I learned it from watching you commercial.
Yeah.
I learned it from watching you, Emperor.
Yeah.
These are your lungs. These are your lungs on lava.
That's a good one, too.
And
yes.
like not, there's like just a little like.
Yeah.
Like
or just the where did you learn this? I learned it from you.
But you on the planet?
You
didn't
also,
help
I'm
me on
your
the
father.
Planet?
Or how about the Mr. T anti-drug ad where he
oh,
smashes
God.
The glass
so
the
terrible.
Glass in his hand?
That's so
He's
terrible.
So angry. Because you can see Gate
that wasn't
doing
a,
that, right?
That was
well, he wouldn't commercial. Do it with his hand, though. He would just use the force.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
force choke the cup.
Yeah. I don't think you can choke a cup.
It's Vader.
That's the oh, that's choke. One of the things I really liked about, and this is one of the places I agree with Bobby. I don't think Darth Vader has been as menacing. Since like
yeah.
the very first movie, like this movie brought yeah. like the final scene where Vader is just cutting rebels down. I'm like, yeah. he has not been that scary since yeah. he first debuted.
And
well,
that's
that
what
whole
he should
scene
look
in
like.
General, yeah,
that's what great. He should look like. Yeah. I wasn't sure I bought the "don't choke on your ambition" line.
Yeah, he's.
I'm
always,
not sure he's a punter,
but he's always had a little. He, in the first
I'm
movie,
sure
if you look
a
at
funny
it,
fella.
You know, he's always been a little quippy. You yeah. know, like when
he's always been a little quippy.
Yeah. You know, when he's choking the one guy in the original mm-hmm. Star Wars, what did he say? I find your lack of faith disturbing. Like, he's always had
yeah,
a
but
little
not,
bit of
that's
that.
Less of a pun,
you know?
More like, you know.
I know, but he's always had a little quippiness to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but the punniness, no.
It might have veered a little bit into punniness.
To me,
yes.
it was a little too far.
But I appreciated it. I was fine with it.
There was one other question I have for you about Bodhi.
Yes.
The pilot.
Yes.
Who was also pretty underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the pilot.
Yeah. Yes. That's Remember, you just said you learned enough to care about all of them. And he's literally, what you know about Bodhi is he's
captured
a pilot.
He's a pilot.
He's a pilot who was captured.
I'm a bounty hunter.
Yeah. He has all the depth of one Jim Gordon on Gotham, is what you're saying.
Hey. That's an insult to Bodhi.
Well, probably. Why does he always have the Chem Lab goggles on his forehead? He never actually wears the goggles.
Because if he didn't have those goggles,
he just
always
wears
the goggles.
That's not the
on
issue with Bodhi.
Yeah.
The issue with Bodhi is that Gera uses that weird, like, squid thing to, like, suck the stuff out of his mind.
Yeah.
And Gera's like, oh, you know, one of the side effects is you'll go crazy.
Yeah.
Seems
and
fine.
And then he's in that jail cell.
Yeah.
And I think Cassian's talking to him.
He's crazy.
And he's crazy. And then all of a sudden, like, he's better.
He snaps out of it. Yeah.
I am the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm the pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. That is not how mental illness works.
Yeah. No.
You do not just get over. So, yeah, that was another part that
I think it was the chem goggles were too tight on his head, maybe?
I don't know what it is.
But what were with the chem goggles?
Well, he's a pilot, so they were probably piloting goggles.
But they looked like he was ready
to
light up a Bunsen
burner.
They were
Beaker, I'm going to cook things in the lab.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, it's like Breaking Bad. Breaking Bodhi.
Oh, my God.
Breaking Bodhi's not bad,
Breaking
actually.
Bodhi.
Yeah.
You know.
It would finally explain the goggles.
He's a you know, middle class, you know, Imperial TIE fighter pilot that has to cook meth on
Toggle
the side.
Do you ever think?
Oh my God, these are brilliant ideas.
That you're playing Bodhi and you're like, oh, I got to put those goggles on again today.
Yeah.
Even he must have known they were stupid.
I don't know. So I didn't really notice the goggles.
I did. I
just noticed the all of a sudden. Oh yeah, I'm the pilot, and I just got over my mental illness.
Also, why is he in the jail cell if he knows he's telling the truth?
It's a good question.
Well, because Gera's kind of unhinged.
Getting back to the
also, the guy is still an Imperial pilot. They're not really big fans of him.
But he defected.
He is a TIE flyer.
I'm not
so
sure they care about that
cargo
so much.
Pilot.
I don't think he
I thought
cares.
He was a,
no, he's
Patrick
a cargo.
Just said he was a TIE
cargo. No.
You just said he was a TIE flyer.
I never said TIE fighter.
Oh, go back to the tape.
You just did. You said he's a middle class
TIE fighter.
Pilot.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's a middle class cargo pilot.
Oh.
But again, nobody cared that Galen was a defector. They're all like, eh, kill him. The rebels are uncompromising.
Well, who do you trust?
No
one.
That's
the question. Even with the squid.
Now, the question is, whom do you trust?
Thank you.
Wow. I like to maintain a certain level of grammatical correctness.
You obviously.
This is what I do.
You obviously do.
This is what I uniquely bring to the show.
Yeah.
Stop conversations dead cold.
Pretty much. But we're getting to the end of the show.
Well, that's kind
of
what grammar does. Bring the conversation to a dead.
We're always looking for a way to wrap up the show smoothly.
That's right.
I'll let
you know when you get there.
Grammatical correctness.
By pointing out we're wrapping up the show, that's how it's going to be smooth.
It is always smooth.
That's right.
I think if you talk about it enough, that it goes past the awkward stage to the smooth stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're still in the awkward right now.
Yes.
But as it spins forward for 30 or 40 seconds, it's
going to
spin, but you can feel it. You can feel it going downhill.
It's like the
slow
climb up the roller coaster.
No, it's like you're on a toboggan with Vader's KY jelly, and you're just waiting to hit the jelly, and once you hit it.
Why are we hitting jelly? I'm sorry, I came into that. You said something about hitting jelly.
Vader's
KY jelly. That stuff that kind of
he's
bringing full circles.
It's not KY jelly.
No, we don't know that it's not KY jelly.
So it can't
I'm pretty sure it's Sith jelly.
Sith jelly?
It's Sith jelly.
I don't
and what's the
know
difference?
What
it has midichlorians mixed in?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And cough medicine.
For the emphysema.
Yeah.
I like it. That's an emphysema joke.
That's what he's so. It's
Richard
just, it's,
for the
it's
win.
It's just cough medicine he's soaking in.
I like it.
It's just NyQuil.
Yeah. It's just NyQuil.
Just a NyQuil bath. That's what I do. I like to unwind. I come
Where's
home.
Vader? He's just soaking
myself,
in his NyQuil.
Pour myself a glass of champagne.
NyQuil,
take a NyQuil bath.
NyQuil PM.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Yeah.
A little NyQuil PM puts him right out.
Yep.
He sleeps like a little baby.
Yeah, sleeps like a little Vader baby.
Little Vader. Oh, that would be another good show.
Hashtag Vader baby.
Vader
oh baby.
God.
I hope George Lucas isn't listening because he's going to steal all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I'm
he
sure.
Can't,
that
he's
or,
the
that
rights
or
anymore.
He's going to sue all kinds of stuff.
I really hope he's not listening.
Yeah, I really hope so, too. We should probably tweet this at him.
Oh, we totally should.
I'll make sure it happens.
Excellent.
And Disney.
You don't want to poke the wrong chickens, is what I've learned.
No, please don't. Let's not do that. No. Stop now. No.
Wait, what's wrong with the chickens?
You don't poke the wrong one. It's a local saying, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. But that's a little off the beaten track from
it is.
From Star
it is.
Wars.
But it's also one of the things Chirrut says. He says you live in a cage that you carry with you, and he also says... In the one scene, don't poke the wrong chicken.
He does not say anything about chicken
Is
poking.
That one of the deleted scenes that only you saw?
No, I think we'll have to go back and watch it again.
No, I've seen it twice. I'm almost positive he does not
you
say
You know what
that.
We should do after we see it again?
What?
Do another podcast.
Possibly.
Saw
one,
it again.
Part two.
Now, will Rich pay for that one, or?
Nope. Oh, yeah, I can't afford it.
Okay.
That should be.
That's what Pat's for.
Yeah. No,
it's Pat's turn to pay for Rich.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, the sequel should be Rogue One 2.
Rogue One 2?
Oh, God.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't really get it either. I liked Rogue One Part 2, kind of like Rambo First Blood Part 2, which is my favorite of Stallone's movies.
Rogue One 2, it's like I'm counting.
Question. Oh, so do you think they do more of these? These self-contained kind of Star Wars things? Do you think they do more?
I think they. How, I don't how know.
This one
not?
Seems like it's been relatively unsuccessful.
It's not done very well.
Hey, that leads into numbers.
Oh, let's talk about
opening box office.
Oh, God. We are so close to finishing.
Oh
Dan.
My God, I hate all of you.
I was going to be my final question.
So, you know what? Let's end with numbers.
Because grammar was not a good note to end on. So, yes, let's end with numbers.
Second best December opening ever. Behind.
Bring it home with statistics.
Behind.
The Force Awakens.
Correct. Fourth biggest internationally.
Behind something by Michael Bay.
I didn't actually look that up.
Oh, good.
Good. Some numbers, not all.
So you're saying it's popular.
After 3 days, 15th highest grossing release of the year.
And we do know that you believe quality is totally measured in dollars and cents.
No, the dollars and cents just confirm my liking of it. I am right to like it.
Which is
because
kind of saying the obverse of what I just said.
Right. Right. Like, but it's the obverse of what you just said, not what you just
said.
But
it becomes a vicious circle that feeds into itself.
Welcome to the Star Wars universe.
Oh my Lord! So where do you rank it in Christmas time movies all time?
Oh, Christmas time movies! Oh, good Lord,
that's hard. Better than Die Hard?
No. Don't you ever say
oh,
those
it's
words
better
again.
Than Die Hard.
Nothing is better than Die Hard at this time of the year. Nothing.
Oh, but you mean for a well, oh,
I mean, I'm
it's
like
not a
holiday
it's not a
time
Christmas movie, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no,
Die Hard
Star
is.
Wars
oh, 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 Star Wars.
Rogue yeah, I'm not that. Saying like actual Christmas movies. Like, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Right. Right. No, but I'm talking. I thought you were talking about films that came out.
Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Iron Man 3 is better
than
anything.
No.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, it's my favorite Iron Man.
The third one.
It's brilliant. It's so good.
Oh, it is. I love Iron Man 3. Not to the
it
extent
totally
he does.
It totally subverts
okay.
the,
but I do
the,
love Iron
the
Man
kid
3.
Actor thing, which is really nice.
That's really nice, yes.
It totally subverts the Mandarin and the War on Terror. It's,
yeah,
it's
I think
really
we talked about
film.
This at
what
some
does it do
yeah.
with Christmas?
It was released
it's set
at
during
Christmas.
Christmas.
That's why I said Christmas time. I didn't say Christmas movie. I said Christmas time.
You know, Rich sits here. Like,
well, maybe,
you know,
maybe we should save this discussion for next year's
you know
Christmas episode.
You know, it would be really great if we could hear
if
what
Richard,
was going on in Rich's head the
Richard
whole time this show's going on.
Oh God, no! I don't think we can.
No,
handle
no, no!
That.
It's probably just I'm sad. I'm sad.
That's basically it.
I'm sadder now. Yeah. I'm really sad.
Yeah.
Why don't they like me?
Yeah. I can't believe I got him to give me $6 for a movie.
I can't believe
they let me keep eating all that popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Reese's Pieces.
Well, with
wait,
that, it feels like we've come to the general
he ate Patrick's Reese's Pieces as well.
He offered.
I offered those.
Yeah.
I offered them to you guys, too.
Yeah, well, you did.
So
nobody said you didn't. Why are you pointing an accusing finger at me?
I'm just saying I offered them. They were rejected.
We politely declined.
That's not what Richard said.
What'd you say, Richard?
I can't repeat anything. What Richard said.
Yeah. Really?
It was something like, you can take your mm-mm Reese's mm-mm pieces.
Why is the part before Reese's?
Oh, got it.
I thought you were only beeping where they were going to go. No, because you need to beep the language. It's a podcast. You said son of a bitch earlier.
I did not say that. That was you.
Oh, and as Patrick melts down, it seems like we have reached what I promised Dan, which was clearly the end of the show.
Only 20 minutes late.
Yes. So enjoy the shows that we have prepared for you the rest of the holiday season.
There's some good stuff coming.
Yes, and we will be back with new episodes in the new year.
We will. Happy holidays, and may the Force
be with us and you.